Is James' teaching on faith, works, and justification reconcilable with the rest of Scripture? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for January is the new Concordia Commentary on James. It's written by Issues, Etc. guest Dr. Curtis Giese. The Concordia Commentary on James is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Concordia Commentary on James, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month. The headline from The Economist reads, "Can Mormonism thrive as a global religion? The church struggles to adapt to local customs and retain its distinct culture." One of the things that they propose in this article is that Mormonism's one-size-fit-all structure, they call it the McDonald's model, where it's the same everywhere, is working against it becoming a global religion. Joining us to answer the question whether Mormonism can be a global religion, and if not, why not, Bill McKeever, founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah. He's author of several books, including In Their Own Words, a collection of Mormon quotations, and Mormonism 101. Bill, welcome back.
Hey, great to be with you.
It's acknowledged there in the Economist article that we're going to be discussing that Mormonism has a strong association with American history and culture. Why is it often referred to as kind of a made in America religion?
Well, I think just about everything regarding the LDS Church has to do with America. I mean, there was, of course, an American prophet, Joseph Smith, who started this whole thing. Everything kind of goes centrally from the United States outward, you might say. Most of the people that have been leading the church for many of the years throughout its history were born in the United States. It's not that they've never had people in leadership positions that were from outside the states. That a classic example would be the third president of the church, John Taylor. He was from England, but most of the time you're going to see, if you look at the leadership pictures, most of them are American born. That is changing slightly, but usually that's the case.
Is its theology bound up also with the American expansion, with claims about who populated the American continent in the ancient world?
I think so, because a lot of, for instance, Joseph Smith's prophecies had to do with, for instance, the Lord coming back to Missouri. So the United States plays a very integral part in not only the history of the LDS Church, but you could say even part of its theology. I don't know if that has a huge effect on getting converts outside of the United States, but certainly it makes a lot of American Latter-day Saints, I would say, very proud of the fact that, you know, Joseph Smith was an American. He's born in Vermont. And of course, Brigham Young leading the people out to the territory of Deseret, as it was known, later to be the state of Utah. It certainly is a pride factor, I would think.
So there was a headline in The Economist, "Can Mormonism Thrive as a Global Religion?" Did you find anything surprising in the article?
Not really. And this is why. A lot of the retention problems that the LDS Church has faced, I have found, is not really a new phenomenon. I recall back in the late 1980s, I was asked to speak at a number of churches in the Philippines. This was during a time when the Philippines was kind of the hotbed of Mormon growth. And it was interesting in talking to some of the local American Christian missionaries in the Philippines, that when we discussed this issue about the alleged growth of the church in the Philippines, I remember one of the missionaries being really kind of puzzled about that, because he said that when he goes by LDS wards or chapels, you might say, on a Sunday, it looked like there was nobody there, which is interesting, because here shows that problem with the numbers that are coming out of Salt Lake City. And then the actual activity numbers don't always seem to be the same. And there have been studies on this. The problem that I have is it's hard to find something that's absolutely current. I'll give you an example. There's one website that I find is very useful that deals with some of these statistics, but yet those numbers go clear back to 2011. So we're talking over 10 years ago. Now, I probably could spend some time and go through and try to find individual countries and the membership activity rates in those countries, but have to do it individually. It would take a lot of time. I would not be surprised if a lot of those numbers are very similar, if not even worse than they were 10 years ago. But many times people look at the numbers put out by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and they think, wow, this thing is really going big guns. And I'm not saying that they aren't. They certainly are getting a lot of converts that, unfortunately, I don't think they should have. And it saddens me to see so many people join this organization. But the actual activity rate is certainly different. I remember having a conversation with a couple of young missionaries. I happened to be working out of my garage, and these two missionaries came by. They're very nice guys, as they always are. And I was kind of kidding around with them. And I asked them, I says, well, what did you guys do wrong that you got sent on a mission here in Salt Lake City? Now, I thought I probably should have never said that because I don't know these kids' personalities. They don't know mine. They could have really been offensive to them, but they took it well. And it was interesting that one of them explained that he enjoyed being in Salt Lake City because they were focusing on getting lapsed members active again. And he was explaining to me that that's a serious problem here in the Salt Lake Valley, that I've heard as many as 50% of the LDS alleged members are not even going to church. They're inactive. That was pretty telling. And that couldn't have been more than maybe about 10 years ago itself. But I thought it was quite eye-opening that they would have a specific set of missionaries targeting purposely to reactivate members.
That lack of current record keeping kind of surprises me, Bill, because I was under the impression that Mormonism has a penchant for very accurate record keeping, keeping tallies very accurately.
They normally do. They used to come out with an almanac years ago, and I used to wait for that almanac to come out. And all of a sudden, they stopped doing it. They don't put the almanac out anymore. If you're trying to find any type of statistics, you usually have to go into the newsroom website. Sometimes you will find some recent numbers, but it's interesting. Just today, because this article mentions Brazil specifically, I couldn't find anything on there of any new numbers for the country of Brazil. I could have missed it, I admit that, but I just couldn't find it in doing a quick search. And Brazil, actually, for a long time, has had some horrible retention percentages down in the, I'm looking at this one website right now. I think it's around 25%, it says. So what you're having here is a lot of people being baptized into the church down in Brazil that are walking in the front door, and not long after, they're walking right out the back door. And of course, the big question is, well, why are they leaving? And that is a bit controversial. I read some of the points that were in the Economist article, and I don't know if those points would be the issues that I would bring up, because what I find here, at least living in the United States and you know, living right in the heart of it, a lot of them leave for more of a historical problem. I'll give you an example. There's a guy here named John DeLynn who has what's called the Mormon Stories podcast. And he did some interviews, and this is kind of dated. It was going back to 2011 and 2012. Well, Eric Johnson, who works with me, did an article on this, and it's on our website. It's at mrm.org/leaving-fold. And from this broadcast, this Mormon Stories podcast, the top four reasons for leaving the LDS Church was, one, I studied church history and lost my belief. That was 39% primary factor, 81% moderate to strong factor. And quite honestly, I don't know what that actually means there. But the next one was, I lost faith in Joseph Smith. Third, I ceased to believe in the church's doctrine/theology. And fourth was, I lost faith in the Book of Mormon. So what are we seeing here? We're seeing that a lot of people are leaving because of historical problems they see in the church and theological problems that they see in the church. It's usually not things like, well, someone offended me and that's why I left. I've been asked that and I was never even a member. Well, did somebody offend you and this is why you're doing it? No, not at all. Most Latter-day Saints I find treat me very well, even though I might disagree with their theology.
What do you make of what they called in the article the McDonald's model, that is kind of this uniform teaching throughout all of Mormonism every time they gather?
I think that statement is kind of true, because everywhere you go around the world, you're going to see, let's say, an LDS chapel that's going to look pretty much like another LDS chapel. I noticed that when I was in the Philippines. I didn't notice it so much when I was in Uganda, but that could be because of the problem that the church may have in some of these countries just finding buildings. For instance, in Russia, they have a real hard time in Russia because of that law that was passed a few years ago that makes it very difficult to proselytize and hand out literature of a religious nature in the country of Russia. But for the most part, it's not uncommon to see in some of these countries wards that look like they would look here in Salt Lake City. That's just how they often do things. And of course, many times, if you look at who are the mission presidents in some of these countries, they're Americans. They're not usually of the nationality of the people that they're trying to reach, but they're Americans. Maybe they're there to oversee some of the local leadership. I don't know, but that just seems to be the way it is when you look at the photographs of those who are in charge of these mission outreaches that they have.
So you answer the question, can Mormonism thrive as a true global religion?
That's a great question. I would say that it certainly seems like that is going in the unlikely position. However, I am of the opinion that even if the church stopped tomorrow as a religious organization, it would still go on as a business. But I think there's always going to be people that are faithful to their church, to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, mainly because it's so subjective and so much feelings-oriented. That's why they belong, is because they feel God is telling them that this is true. I don't know if it's going to be quite the factor that we were told many years ago when a study came out by a man by the name of Rodney Stark. I don't think those numbers are going to pan out. He was predicting, you know, several years ago that this thing was going to just be incredibly large, and that didn't happen at all. Now, it's true. The world, and especially our country, seems in many areas to become more secularized. We see that in Christian circles as well. That could be a part of it. But I find that a lot of the people that I talk to who are former Mormons, usually they left because of one of those four points that I just read earlier and was confirmed on the Mormon Stories podcast.
Bill McKeever is founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah. He's author of several books, including In Their Own Words, a collection of Mormon quotations, and Mormonism 101. You'll find a link to these books and to Mormonism Research Ministry at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Bill, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
When we come back, it's listener email and the Issues Etc. listener comment line.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
In all things, across the nation, children are back in over 1,800 Lutheran schools. Students are thriving in programs of excellence in safe, caring, Christian environments taught by dedicated teachers. To find a school in your community, visit lcms.org/schools. Contact a school today for information about a Lutheran school for the children in your family. That's lcms.org/schools.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Deaconess Betsy Dodgers at Concordia University Chicago, inviting all high school students to attend the annual Careers for Christ weekend in person on our beautiful campus in River Forest. Careers for Christ is February 4th through 6th. You'll have the opportunity to learn about professional church vocations while having fun with CUC staff, faculty, and students. For more information, visit cuchicago.edu/C4C.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at siestakeyrentalgenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.